Good morning, everybody. And I thought I saw Sister Jackie. Yes. Why did you go back there? Okay. And I want to greet all mothers, grandmothers. Thank you. Good morning. It's good to see every one of you. It's really, truly good to see every one of you. So why don't we take some time to bless one another? There is a commandment in Numbers chapter 6. So if we can pull it up. So let's try and find a way to do it. So those of you who here, if you mothers and fathers who are here, you can take your brood with you, and you're going to bless them. And those aunties, sisters who are here, and you can take some of the younger ladies and the uncles. You're going to take some of the younger men. You're going to bless them. You're going to pull up. This is what it says. So you can all open to it. It's Numbers chapter 6. A song has been made that's gone viral. It's all over the world. The Lord bless you and keep you. It's called The Blessing. But it is actually meant for us to bless one another. When we come together, we're going to bless ourselves today. We're going to bless one another. And after that, I'm going to call Brother Wale, Brother Kunle, Sister Kemi, Sister Shade, Kike, and Peter to come here. And then we're going to bless the rest of the congregation. And then you are in turn going to bless those who are workers. It's a simple task. So are you in Numbers chapter 6? Okay, from verse 22, I'm going to read it out, and then we're going to divide ourselves. So Brother Tunde, you are going to come and join your wife. You're going to bring your brood, and you're going to bless them. So you have to be in the same place. So you're going to bring your prince and bring your Prince Josh, Ademiju. You're going to come here, and you're going to bless your children. And Sister Kemi, you already got Timmy right there. So we're going to find a way. So brother Kunle, Sister Shade, where is Dami the only who is here with you today? That's you. Okay. So we'll cover him. We're probably going to just get Brother Shage to bless him so that you go and attend to anybody whose parent is not here. Will that work? So, Brother Shage, you will take on the young man, Dami. You're going to bless him. So what you are going to do is just hold their hand. Those of you who have families, go to your family. You're going to hold their hands, and you are going to invoke the blessing. So the Bible says we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And one of the things that priests usually do, they are called Kohanim. It's the word priest, we use the English word, but they are intermediary. They are the ones who carry people to God, bring God to the people, bring God's blessing, teach. They also the ones who in those times will go fellowship with lepers who were kept outside of the community, and they were in charge of bringing the offerings to God. They did a lot of things, but this is what the Lord said to them. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron, the Levite, and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of the nation of Israel. They were not only children in Israel. They were adults, but the nation of Israel. You say to them, what? The Lord bless you and keep you. So Prince Josh, Ademiju, come on. Come on. I want to practice with you. Come on. What happened to your right hand? You didn't punch somebody. Okay, come on. All right. So, simple thing. Don't show me up. You're not taller than me. You have to do a little bit. Okay. So, I'm going to, if I put it here. So, this is what I'm going to do to him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Okay. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Okay? That's what I want you to do. So you're going to scoop it a little bit if you're taller than your dad so that he can bless you. So this is what I want to say. Sister Jackie, you're going to come. Come on. Where is John? John did not come today? Okay. All right. So Sister Jackie, I want you to adopt a young lady. You're going to adopt. Oh, sister, you are here? And you are anonymous. It's guilt. Sister Kemi, you know that you owe me. That's the reason you didn't raise your... That's why you are here and nobody... And, oh, brother me, you are not good. I don't know what... He didn't greet, he didn't say great. Our sister Kemi is here. Well, you were not here last Sunday. Were you? When did you come? Welcome. How long have you been around? You see, brother me didn't tell me you were here. I usually ask for... Okay, so you got her covered. Okay. So, no, Sister Jackie, come. You and our sister, you're good. So you're going to bless each other. It's simple. So stay there. So we all got everybody. Do you all have somebody you are going to bless? No, you good. So either turn around to Mama and you have to find somebody you are going to bless. So somebody should take Dave Shola is there. Okay. Let's. And then those of us who are orphans, who have no mother or father, we're going to come to the front. And I have no father, I have no mother. So nobody is here with me. My wife is not here. So eventually, those of us who have no father and mother, we're going to come to the front. And the rest of the congregation will bless us. So don't worry, nobody will be left behind. Brother Peter, where are you? Who are you? Where are you? Are you not going to come to your family? And you believe, for now you Bro Wally and you all members, your congregation, you're going to make sure everybody is blessed. So let's stand up. Let's stand up to do this. Hold the person. Look at them. You know, make sure you can read the scripture. If you can put it here, can you raise it up to be verse 25? Move verse 24 off. Move it a little bit up. We want verse 25 to 27. Okay, doesn't matter. You all know it. Okay. So I can say it out, and you can say it to the next. So put your Bible down. I can say it, so you can just say it directly, okay? All right. Once you're ready, let me know. Okay, I'll wait. So if the parents are hold, and those of you who are online, same thing. So I know that those of you, if you are with your family, please... gather your family together and, you know, roll out of bed or whatever you are sitting, do this standing up. And those of you who are zooming in on your own, when the brethren come to bless every one of us, you stand up and we'll do it. Okay. Are we ready? All right. So it goes this way. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. All right. So I would like those who work in the church to please come. Any worker, if you do any work, if you lead worship, whatever you do, can you all come here? And the rest of the congregation, you are going to bless them. If you do any form of service, if you check to see that there's water somewhere. What if you do any fun, if you play on the worship team, if you do anything, so the rest of the congregation, you're going to rise up and bless these workers. And if you are online watching and you do something for the congregation, please come on. And we're going to ask. Okay, so the rest of the congregation, those of you who are there, you're going to stretch forth your hand to bless these people. Everyone, well, all of you, Deshola, you're going to stretch out your hand, and I'm going to join them so we can bless those who work here. All right. So for you who serve in this body, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you. I would like pastoral staff to stay behind, the elders and their wives. Can you stay behind? Brother Wally, Sister D, B, come on. And just come on, come a little bit closer. Come a little bit closer. So the rest of us can just, these are the servants that we put forth in the front line. and their families, we just want to bless them. So if you could just all stretch forth your hand, you can sit or stand, it doesn't matter to me. Again, we're going to bless. So you're going to say it. Don't wait for me to say it and say it on your behalf. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Okay, and I'm going to give you to pray for me and for the rest of the congregation. Okay.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you all. Thank you. So when we come together, I know this morning, our brother Wallace set us up by being obedient to God. And he said, when we come here, we are not coming to perform. We're not coming to just go through a set of things and check up the box that we have been to church today so that our conscience won't bother us. When we come here, we come in the presence of our Father. We come in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, we are gathered. And actually, the word of God says that we have come out to Mount Zion. It is a place, it's a gathering that is is not visible to us, but is nevertheless real. And so we have to be careful how we approach this gathering that is more than our personal going to the Lord or our being gathered as a family. There are different formats in which the Lord blesses his people. He designed it that way. There is your relationship between you and God, and the Lord is always with you. But there is when the Lord is in the midst of his people. It's different. So that's why you can't wake up and say, I'll just watch all the YouTube videos and all the sermons. Gathering is not about sermons. It is a corporate response to God and his dwelling in our midst. It cannot be scripted and it cannot be reproduced. It's a live performance. So I really hope that as we continue to learn, as we continue to grow, that these are the desires of our heart, you know, to come to a prayer meeting and expect our agenda to be flipped, for the Lord to say, that's not what I really had in mind today. And so I want to read a passage. We've already prayed. So you say, Brother Lord, you didn't pray before you preached. No, we prayed a lot. You heard all the prayers we were praying. I do want to read, continuing on this theme of the living hope that we have in the Lord Jesus. The hope we have in the Lord Jesus as an anchor for our souls. The hope that is in Christ Jesus, it is the anchor for our souls. Something happened in Numbers chapter 13. I want to read that passage. It's one of the most painful passages in the Bible. The reason I'm reading it is because as God's people, we have to learn how to respond to the things that are happening around us and to find out what exactly God is doing. I don't want to go through all that is going on in our nation, whether with the Roe v. Wade and all the... I remember as a student when we were praying and advocating for people to understand what abortion was about. And even then I was in Nigeria, I was not here. And I remember talking to my fellow doctors, and actually one of them, I had to talk to him about the right to life and the right to die. And, you know, he was very humble. He read the book and he stopped some practices that did not align him with the word of God. But there's the war in Ukraine. You cannot but hear about it. And there's the persistent confusion and just total... a complex, painful reality of our nation, Nigeria. If you know, those of us who are of dual citizenship, we know one of the most baffling nations on earth is Nigeria. But God has been faithful in many ways. And I would love to hear from our sister, you know, Kemi, how God has been sustaining them and doing good to them in that nation. But if you read the history, if I mean, read the stories, when I talk to my brothers and sisters in Ekpoma, what they tell me is that if you've never been to hell, come to Nigeria and you will not need a definition. That's what they say. I don't know the part you live in, but my brother is telling me that if you've never been to hell before, come to where they are and you will not need to look at a dictionary. But that's the world in which we live. There are people on the southern border trying to cross into this country. There are people living in nations where drug lords have overtaken everybody. And there are people who do not have enough water to use. More of us, what we flush our toilets with every day is more than the total amount of water available to a family in India. Some of us live here and we are dieting and all this stuff because there's a lot of stuff. Some people cannot get the food. Having too much will not be a problem for them. It will be a welcome relief and blessing. So when we live as believers, how do we carry on in hope? How do you speak to a congregation where just last Monday, we lost a brother who used to be a worship leader in Ithaca? He had a bike accident and he died 2 weeks later. I have within our network a family looking after their mother who is in the terminal stage of, you know, a very aggressive form of cancer. In our own congregation here, we have people dealing with back pain, all kinds of stuff, people losing their jobs, you know. Today actually is the third year anniversary of a very painful loss that we had, and I had to officiate in that funeral. Because when you look at all of these things happening, and we have our children here with us, and we want to tell them the future is bright, you have to give them a reason for saying that. Otherwise, you have to teach them lamentation. So to tell our children the future is bright in a nation where sometimes children go to school and may not come back because of our addiction to guns and violence, you have to be able to give them as a Christian parent the reason for which we have hope. And that hope cannot be in the constitution of any country. It has to be the hope that is in the Bible. Before I read that passage, let me go to can we go to Romans chapter 15? I'm coming back to Numbers chapter 13. But in Romans chapter 15, there's something said there by the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit. Where is the source of our hope? Of course, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in what, how, where, what is this hope? So continuing from chapter 14, where he was encouraging those of us who are strong in faith to be able to put up with the squabbles of those whose faith is still not well formed, he goes on to this particular line of thought in verse 1. Romans chapter 15 from verse 1. We then who are strong in faith ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. That is the spirit of the Lord Jesus. Let each of us please his neighbor for his or her good, leading to building up or edification. That is a way we live as believers. Okay. So I will be watching out for the good of Brother Peter, right? That's what the word of God is enjoining me to do. It's also in Philippians. For even the Messiah, the anointed one, did not live to please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. In other words, the disgrace that people were trying to heap upon you, they came upon me. I took my share of it. I took it on myself. These are passages what we call the Old Testament or the Psalms that you have to be patient when you read them. You actually have to go to the original reference and read it carefully and slowly. It's in Psalm 69, and it is a psalm that, you know, gives an account of one who is persecuted, one who has taken on a lot. For, hear this, for whatever things were written before, what are the things written before? At this time, all of the believers had only Genesis to Malachi. The believers, the Apostle Paul is talking to, there is no New Testament. The scriptures is from Genesis to Malachi. It says all the things written there before are written for our learning. What are those things? What are they written for? For our learning. That we may, through the patience, in another translation, the endurance and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Listen to that again. The things that are written in the past, they are written for our learning. So that we, through the endurance the scripture teaches and comfort, we may have hope. Now, that's now he prays, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another. Amen. I like that prayer. Amen. May the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a good prayer. So these things that are written, I want to take you to one of them, so that through them we may have the ability to endure, be comforted, and then have hope. I want to read Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. I won't read every single verse, but I will read some pertinent passages from this. What are these things written for our learning? This is one of them, and there are many others. Verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, saying, send men to spy out or to look. The word spy is shelach. It's like when Jesus sent out his messengers ahead of him to the places he was going to preach in later on. They are messengers, shelach, sent out. They were not going there as James Bond or, you know, the KGB spies. They were actually going to, like, explore the land and then bring a report. So the word spy doesn't give the full meaning. But it is the same word that when Jacob was returning, he sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau. So it's that same. So Moses sent out shelach. That's what he was sending out. And he says to them, send them out to go explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. For each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. These were not men who did not have reputation in the midst of these people. These were leaders in their tribes. So Moses sent them out from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord. The names are written there, including Joshua, who he called, you know, Joshua also called Hosea, and Caleb. So in verse 17, the men went out to explore, to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage. Bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time of the season of, well, it was the time of the season of the first ripe grapes. Okay. So they went out from the land of the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob. near the entrance of Haman, and they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Sheshai, and Tamiah, the descendants of Enoch, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between the two of them. That's how much, how fruitful that vine was. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol. So they also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. And the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out or exploring the land. So you think all the time that they were cutting that somebody may not have seen them? So it is not just a kind of, 40 days, it's a long time. So it's not like a KGB thing. They really went, they looked at the land. It would be enough for people to say, what are these people doing? But anyway, so they could see the land. They could see where it was. This is the land God promised by oath to their father and to them. It's been repeated over centuries. The same way you and I have inherited a lot of promises that were told to generations before us, and we're telling our children that Jesus did come, he died according to scripture, he was buried, he was raised, and we are awaiting his return. We have the hope of the resurrection of the dead, where the righteous, as God told Daniel, will shine like stars in the firmament, and the wicked will receive their just desert. And it is not this. So Jesus never said to us, if you believe in me, when you die, you go to heaven. That's not what Jesus said. He never said that. We say that. Billy Graham popularized it. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. You will see the kingdom. You enter the kingdom of God. We are already members of the kingdom of God right now. If it throws your theology, just go check the word of God. The apostles were not saying, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you die, you go to heaven. They were saying, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will receive adoption of sons. You will be members of your father's kingdom right now. And when he comes to make that kingdom rule over everywhere, you will be prominent in it. That is why when we tell our children about heaven, we can't really, we make it look boring. So what are we going to be doing in heaven? I know we're going to have tambourine and be singing. So after that, what else? What else are we going to be doing? I know we're going to be with the angels. What else? We have forgotten that in that kingdom, we are going to rule. We will judge the angels. And nations again are going to come up to Jerusalem and bring tributes. There is a lot to do. It is in that kingdom that we will read, when we read in Isaiah chapter 11, that you will no longer see a lion devouring a deer. They will no longer hurt in all my holy mountain. Then the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the whole earth as the waters cover the sea. There is a lot to look forward to. And in this kingdom, you and I will never die. We will not have to confess sin because we will have a body like the Lord Jesus and sin will be done away with. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And the dimensions are given to us. It's not a boring place. It's not a boring reality. But for some reason, because of some of the things that came from pagan Europe, popularized by people like Dante and the rest, we think of the afterlife in the European pagan way, not in the Bible. It's true. Just go read the word of God. It said Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Do you know that Jesus could forgive people while he was alive? Jesus could forgive people while he hasn't yet died on the cross. He said to somebody, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. So we need to understand what Jesus came to establish. He said, when you go into all of these places, preach the kingdom of God. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the good news while he was alive. What is the good news? You're going to see it from Caleb and Joshua's response. Let's go. He says, so they came back to Moses in verse 26. And the congregation of the Israel, you know, in the Kadesh, and they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. This is what they said. They were being truthful up to this point. They said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly does what? Flows with milk and honey. Are you hearing? These people came back. They said, loco, we went to that land where you sent us. And truly, it's a good land. It flows with milk and honey. And there is this fruit. But this is their commentary. If they had stopped there, in Robo, they said, if they just close their mouth, they'll be okay. If they said nothing after that, they would just close their dirty mouth. That would be all. They would be okay. But now they add editorial. But look, hear this. Never the pillars, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites live by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. When Caleb heard this, he knew that there was something bad coming. So Caleb quickly jumped up and said, hey, quieted the people. He said, stop. Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. No, these overheat. They're not done. But the men who had gone up with him said, no, we're not able to go there. The people are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. Then they added to it, oh, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And there are giants there. The land did not eat the giants. A land where people are sprouting as giants. He said, no, this land kills people. Really? And they came back from it. You know, you're getting this bad report these people are doing. Didn't you see what they are saying? They said, that land eats people. They were there for 40 days and they came back alive. And they saw giants there. They said, the Amalekites there, why has the land not devoured those ones? He said, this is how the Bible said, we saw the giants and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So were we in their sight. That's how we saw them and that's how they saw us. Really? So all the congregation lifted up their voices, verse 14. And the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, look, these people that sang after that wonderful deliverance from the Red Sea, who were singing the song in Exodus chapter 15, the Lord is a mighty man of war, all of that with Miriam and the prophetess and the singing all those wonderful songs, the people now said, if only we had died where? In the land of Egypt. If the place where they had to throw their sons into the river. If only that's where we died. If only we had died then, even in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be victims? Would it not be better for us to go back to where? So they are going to go to Egypt, to the place where they were suffering as slaves, where they lost their children. Say, we're going to go back there. They said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. Now this is the word, this is where I'm going to. I'm not too concerned about the worst of these kafilis. I want to go back more to the good ones. Joshua and the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. That's what I meant by this is the gospel. This is the good news. If the Lord delights in us, which he does, he will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of that land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Why was this written for us in 2022, those of us who are here? Because unbelief is an indictment against God. It is the thing that will eventually condemn people who are condemned because they did not believe the testimony of God. What is our hope? Our hope is that if God delights in us, and that's what he said to the children of Israel. He said to Moses, I remember my promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I swore to Abraham, my friend, in Genesis chapter 22, in blessing, I will bless you. Your children will possess the gates of their enemies. God said that. So in Hebrews chapter 6, this is how the writer of the book of Hebrews brought this up. So let us stand up for 1 minute. Can you all stand up just for 1 minute? Everybody, just if you can, please stand up for 1 minute while I read this. I'm told it does help circulation and also sharpens attention. So if you just stay with me for 1 minute while I read this. Hebrews, can you turn to it, chapter 6, and I'm going to read from verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You can sit down now. Thank you. You can all sit down now. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Once you sign the dotted line, there's no more dispute. Thus, God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, so that by two immutable things, God himself and his promise, in which it's impossible for God to lie, God cannot change his mind, we might have what? Strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence. So this hope we have does get into God's presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. It's a lot to take in. You have to break it down. It's a lot of stuff. In 2022, so if our sister Kemi goes back to Nigeria with all that is going on, and somebody were to ask her, what is the reason for the hope that is in you? He said, because my God cannot lie. He made a promise, and that promise does bring me to his presence. And in that presence, I have a forerunner already there. So all of the up and downs of this life, we can say we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not necessarily on our ambitions and our plans. I can't guarantee you that all your ambitions will come to pass. I can't. If they are not in line with the word of God, in the will of God, may they fail. Amen. I once said to the Lord, any ambition I have that is not in line with your will, let it fail, please. But everything that you inspire within me that is in line with your will, let it prosper. If you can live with that, you will be at peace. I cannot guarantee there's going to be a civil war in this country in 2 years from now. I cannot. It has happened before. There is nothing that this world in which we live, Europeans had a 100-year war. They fought one another for 100 years. They've given us one first world war. They're going to give us a third war. They've given us two already. What I call the European ethnic wars that they draw everybody into. I wrote a letter to them not too long ago on my Facebook. I said, look, that war you are fighting in Ukraine, I know, keep it there. Don't recruit us from Africa. I'm not coming. Don't invite me the way you invited our forefathers to fight Second World War. It's not this time. Keep your mercenary. Go get them from, go look through all your tribes in Europe. Go to Ireland and the rest. Recruit them. But don't send anyone to Africa because we got too many problems of our own. Have a world war within you. Have a European war. It says world war. No, we did not apply to fight that. Don't call me. Say, Elijah, you come again. Yeah, it's true. I've come again. I haven't even come yet. I told them, I said, don't invite me. I put it on my Facebook. Keep it there. Keep it right there. I got too many problems of our own. Is it not in our nation that if you take a dollar now, how much is it? About 600 and something dollars? I mean, Naira? You only want me to come and be fighting Ukraine? No. Finish your thing over there. Keep it there. But in the midst of all of these, in the midst of all of this, so Brother Tony, how are you going to, when you talk to Josh and Tim, how are you going to assure them that the word of God will come to pass? You will go through what has been written before. Brother Wiley referenced Daniel this morning. Because of time, let me just quickly run you through. Daniel was in Babylon. If you read, you know, the king of Babylon was very smart. Real Daniska. This man is very, we call him Nebuchadnezzar. So he was very smart. This Nebuchadnezzar, what he did was, he said, you know what? Let me bring the good children from Israel. I'll teach them to be good Babylonians. Give them citizenship, feed them, they will serve me. That's how Daniel went to university, learned all the things, and served Nebuchadnezzar. He was there. One day, he read in Jeremiah that the exile was designed for 70 years. Not 7 years, not 7 days, 70 years. When he knew the number, he rose up to pray. So we prayed a prayer of repentance and acknowledging our sins. That's what Daniel did. What is a prophetic hope? Is the hope that God, when he has said he will punish, is also merciful. So all the prophets, Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they knew that. They knew that God will not be angry forever. So every time God says, I'm going to do this, keep reading, keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. Towards the end, you will see God's mercy. It starts from Moses. Just give me time to quickly give you a panoramic view. Moses in Deuteronomy chapters 28 and 29 talked about the curses and the blessings. But he said in chapter 30, if it does happen, however, that the Lord has sent you because of your disobedience to all of these countries, and when you are there, you suddenly remember the Lord your God, and you repent of your wickedness and your idolatry, the Lord will hear you. He'll be merciful to you. And wherever you have been, if you've been to the cracks and nooks of caves that there's no name for it in geography, God said, from there, I will pull you out. I will bring you, and back to this land I promised your father, and I will make you prosper more than they did. That's God. He's merciful. That's why in Psalm 103, he said he does not deal with us according to how our sins deserve. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our iniquities from us. That's why some of you are here today. Some of you who wallowed in wickedness, people like us, who wallowed in wickedness, had no inkling of righteousness, didn't know what it meant to be kind or even fair. God was merciful, came and picked us from the gutter, and now you sit down here now looking respectable. That's the mercy of God. That's the grace of God. If you are forgotten, go and check. Go back to your memory. Go look at your Rolodex of the past. All those times when wickedness reigned in your heart. Nobody else saw it but God. If you're forgotten, go back. Sometimes we forget a lot. I'll clean up now, Lord, your brother. Lord, you don't know some of the wicked thoughts that laid in my heart. There was no sin I wasn't capable of performing. I just didn't have the opportunity. So now that God has saved us, cleaned us, put us here, you got to remember where we've come from. It's the mercies of the Lord. So Jeremiah, the one who also wrote the book called Lamentation, he was in a place where he saw the destruction. And he said, I'm a man who has seen so much sorrow. Oh, this is too much. He cried to God. He said, God, why have you made me see so much sorrow, wickedness, the destruction of Jerusalem? Then in the book called Lamentation, chapter 3, let's go there. This is called the prophetic hope. What is the prophetic hope? It is that God is merciful. God does fulfill his word. In chapter 3 of Lamentation, the book, he says, verse 20, chapter 3. Let you get there. Are we all there? Okay. Open it. So he was there. Brother Lord just said, it's better for you to see it in the Bible yourself. My soul remembers and sinks within me, verse 20. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every what? Every morning. And you know, every week has how many mornings? Seven. Every day has a morning and an evening. God's compassions, they do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. So when our children ask us, so why do you continue to serve this God? Even sometimes at your workplace, I know they discriminate against you because you are a Christian. Why do you still come to fellowship? Why do you sacrifice for God? We prayed for this. Why did we, this brother we prayed for who was sick, but he's gone now. This sister who we prayed for. All of those things. We come back. Through the mercies of God, we are not consumed. You can say that. You can, you know. Sister Tony, you can say it to Tammy. Say, Tammy, I can tell you, I can look at your face straight now and tell you it's because of God's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Will God forget to be merciful? No, he will not. Let's tell this to our children. And I hope those of us who have lived here long enough are in touch with our children's internal conversations. Say that again. I hope those of us who are here are in touch with some of our children's internal conversations to see how they process despair. Because I know I was raised in a household where my father and mother really didn't care much what I was thinking, because life was very hard for them. They didn't have time to see what little Alodia was thinking about, you know, my self-esteem and all of those when I go to the primary. Look, so, you know, there are different kinds of poverty. Some of you, there's nothing I'm going to tell you now that you can relate to. It's not, you can come get $50 from me. You know, on Christmas Day, my brother, you know what he wore for Christmas? My mother's wrapper, he tied it around his neck because it was a, that's his Christmas dress. Talking about shoes, are you, where, what are you talking about? Shoes for what? That's how they grew up. So for your father to be saying, Michael, how did you feel about that? That you are wearing your mother's wrapper on Christmas Day and your friends are all of wearing the same thing. They have a time for no luxury. So now our children, if they, on their birthday party, they go to the same place they went last year, there's trouble. So I always say, my wife, please talk to them, because where I grew up is my is so if I, so I please don't want to cause trouble. Since you grew up in the town, help me talk to these ones, because if somebody even remembered my birthday, I would be over the moon. But so please let me talk to them. But let's go past that. Our children go to school. I mean, this is just us now, right? It's just us. Okay. So this is us, just us, Black people, African, of people of African origin. There are some things they say to them they can't come and tell you. There are quotes they hear all the time. They will never come and tell you, because even repeating it is acidic. Now, children, that's what they go through. They, in our eyes, they're as beautiful as princesses, they're as handsome as princes. But we live in a nation that has a demonic addiction to ethnic superiority. None of us is spared of it. Any of you ever supervise white people? You ever supervise them and they take the supervision, you know, with cherry cake and you're feeling happy about it? No, they'll question you 2-5 times. If a white supervisor is dealing with them, they won't ask those questions. For you, they'll come back and ask you. I say, professor, you know, but they come back there and say, well, how you give me? Give me an A minus. That's what you wrote. I'm saying that the internal conversation for our children, sometimes we are not in touch with it because of how we grow up. So you need God's wisdom, God's understanding. You need to be able to hear the Lord Jesus saying, I know how to reach Tammy. I know how to reach her. Give her to me. Is it making sense? There are despairs we face. We can tell our children. But our children should have no problems knowing the hope that is in us. Because on this level, nobody can take anything away from us. Not persecution, not racism, not white supremacy, not Black supremacy. None of that can reach it. Because the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ, and nobody can reach it. Is anybody listening on Zoom that is not of African origin? I'm not going to apologize for what I just said, because that's our reality. You better know what we go through. You see us smiling is with a lot of clenched teeth. We have learned to be kind in the place of our affliction. But you are not excluded. You can join humanity. You can join the mercy and the grace of God in order to do good to your neighbor. The Bible says we should be like Christ, who lived for the good of his neighbor. That's how we started Romans chapter 15. He says to us in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who though he was, he did this. So I'm saying to all of us, the way to serve one another is to regard the other as superior, as, you know, how do we say, of more deserving honor. Serving one another. Any of you want to be a leader? Jesus said you will be the one serving one another. So that's why when I'm in a congregation that has other ethnic groups and the rest, I said to them, if you want to be of Christ-like, we should have no problems, because we'll be seeking to serve one another, right? That's what we should be doing. So the reason I serve has nothing to do with where I came from. It is because Jesus said to me, this is how you should do to one another. You should wash each other's feet if I, your Lord and Master, did it for you. Blessed are you if you do it. Let's not get twisted on what it is to follow Christ. It's a road that is narrow and it has cross-carrying capacity. You have to carry your cross. Is it too much for our children to understand? No. Jesus said, follow me. He's saying to them as well, 8-year-olds have responded to the Lord and went on to become missionaries. Follow me. There is no baby cross. Because the grace of God is not titrated in on a basis of age, or God will pour out the grace, the gift of the Holy Spirit on Deshola the same way he would do to Deborah. Our faith is real. Mine is real. I know where God has brought me from. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm very confident that he will keep what I've entrusted to his safekeeping until that day. He said, at my last trial, everybody forsook me, but not God. So brothers and sisters, there are people who have run the race. This is what I found. I discovered that in the first century, especially all of the believers we read about, they went from one stage of glory to the other. I notice in our generation, we have people who started well and always seem to deteriorate. I said, Lord, please. This is not the history I want for myself. No, think about it now. All of these great people that in our time, something, so I'm always afraid to read their biography. But because then start reading, you know, towards the end, it became more self-centered and it became very short-tempered and the red. You read about the saints of old. Peter, before he was killed, they got better and better and better. They became more Christ-like. Why? Brother Wally said a lot of things this morning, if you paid attention. We have prayed for revivals before they came. They led to the mega churches. And the deification of servants of God, who we are now serving. I hope you've, saying something I regret. Better prepare, prepare our friend, our people for July, because, I heard you saying, brother, well, I don't know if that's the names they still call themselves now. So I'll talk in code. You know what I mean? I won't go beyond that. This generation of us, brother, a while again said, if God becomes another tool we use in order to further our personal ambition, we don't have to come here, because God will not be the tool of anybody. He said, I'm God, I change not. I raise up my hand, I said, there's none beside me. He said, every knee will bow to me. That's not a lie. That is true. So you come to God, you have to lower everything. All those titles and prestige, they are coming down. And that's why I said, look, call me Brother Lodger. That's the most you can ever call me. I'm like, Pastor. Don't reverend me anything, because I ain't. If you want to hear it in the real vernacular, I ain't. I'm not a reverend. I'm not reverend anything. If you like it, take it, but I'm not. Brother is good enough for me. Sister Kike is good enough for me. Shows our family relationship in the Lord. But if you want to be called an apostolic, if you want to be an apostrophic, or you want whatever else they call it, that's on you. Because Peter said, Brother Paul, as our brother Paul has said. He didn't know that Paul was an apostle. He said, Peter, a servant of Jesus Christ. Jude, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. You know where I'm going, right? In our nation now, everybody's papa and mama. I'm no mama and daddy in anybody. I want to, unless it's my father or my in-laws. Apart from that, and I'm not daddy to anybody, unless for those three children I have. So if you daddy me anything, I will be, we and I will wear the same pant. Don't call me, don't papa me. I'm just telling you, don't papa me anything. All these things are a sign of an inward emptiness. Because if Christ has filled you with the joy of the Lord, you don't need all these externalities to say who you are. You will still come to the fellowship. Let me tell you, all the brethren who helped me to grow, I respect them so much till this very day. If Dr. Shorten were to come here now, he's my mentor. He taught me. I know his kindness. I don't need him to tell me, go get him a glass of water. But I do that out of respect for the God that he serves. When I come here, the respect and the love you show me, if it's not enough, then something is wrong. Because it's more than I deserve. You can just call me a lodger, but I still know there's a lot of love in it. I hope this is cometh to us. Our children have to see humility without going to Merriam-Webster's dictionary. They don't have to. They can say, oh, my dad. Just look at my dad. That's humility. Talk about being gracious. Oh, look at my mom. Talk about being kind. Look at my mom. Talk about being steadfast in faith. Talk about my uncle. I'm going to wind up. And I want to encourage every one of us. God will always fulfill his promise. That's why Joseph said, when I die, don't bury me here. Take me back. It took hundreds of years, but eventually they did. They took his bones. What was important to him? He said, because I know God will surely visit you. He will fulfill his good work. He's going to take you from here to that land he promised you. That's the land that those 10 I can't find a word in English they came and they spoiled that promise God gave them, for which Abraham would not have a permanent building. He was looking for a place that God had promised him. They rubbished the land that God promised their father. Say, that land eats its inhabitants, which is a lie because they were not eaten. 40 days in it, they were not eaten. Anakites, they are there as giants. They are not. So I know our children sometimes, they say, because I'm a Christian, during prom, nobody wants to ask me to prom. One day you will have your own family. You won't remember that. Is it not me, Elijah, and that you used to wear shoes until I was 8? I'm married to one of the most beautiful women ever created. So if it could happen to me, it can happen to you. I would like you to have all the things that are caught with life. But if people say, because you're a Christian, you go to church, that's why they don't want to ask you to go to prom, say, then I'll go with my dad. I'll go with my Lord. These are things we went through with our kids. I don't know about yours, but I hope you're having this conversation. Silver and gold I don't have, but I have something. I have a testimony from the Lord, and I will share it with my children. God took me from the dunghill to set me among the princes of his people. He can do that for you. That's my testimony. It is glorious. I like it. It is better than the story of the Kennedys. It is better than the story of the kings and queens of the earth. Because I have the name of God, not because I deserved it, because out of his mercy, he called me. And this Lord Jesus said, because I live, you will live also. He said, as a matter of fact, let me tell you, in my father's house, there are many mansions. There are many dwelling places. I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I come back, I'll take you to myself so that where I am, there you'll be also. He said, I'll tell you another thing. In this world, you are going to go through a lot of ups and downs. But in me, you will have peace. He said another thing. He said, I will give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions so that nothing shall by any means hurt you. He said that to us, right? He said, go into all the world, make disciples of human beings, declare the good news to all creation, and behold, I am with you to the very end of the age. And he said, behold, I'm coming. I'm coming with my reward. My reward is with me. He said that to us. He said, let who is righteous be righteous still. He said that to us. That's not what our Lord said to us. And in the final chapter, the last verse of the Bible, Lord Jesus, come soon. Even so, amen. There is a song, an Afro-American song, it's called, I've Got Something to Shout About. And that's true. What do you think kept our people after all those years of suffering in the furnace that is calling America? We just talked about Juneteenth. Do you know that people were free and they didn't give them the news? They didn't know they had been freed, but they did not give them the news until after maybe 2 years. In Galveston, black people did not know they'd been free. That in 1863 or thereabout, that there had been a proclamation. There are people in living now who do not know that Christ has set them free. That's what you and I, we go to be proclaimers. Megaphones in the villages declaring the good news of the gospel. Let us pray. My hope is built on nothing else. My hope is built on Jesus. My hope is built on Jesus, his sacrifice, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, now sitting at the right hand of God. He said, behold, I live forever. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. That is our hope. He said, because I live, you also live. The Apostle Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall all be changed in the twinkle of a moment. We shall put on immortality, for mortality cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He said, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, we shall be changed. We shall be changed. We shall behold his face. Say, you will see me and you will rejoice. Your joy, nobody can take from you. That's enough. It is enough. Lord, it is enough for us. You have given us more than enough. You have given us grace. You have given us exceedingly precious and wonderful promises so that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. You have given us your spirit. You have given us your precious word. And you have given us the fellowship of the saints. You have given us a commission. You have told us to occupy until you come. Lord, we have enough to do. We have enough to read. We have enough to ponder on. We have enough time to praise you. We have enough time to thank you. We worship you. We desire, Lord, your good. We desire the flourishing of your kingdom. We desire that our children will serve you with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their being, as we model it before them, oh God. We pray, Lord, for our brethren, like her Sunday, that who is put in a place to serve and who has to display his faith. We lift up, oh God, our fellow elected men and women in this nation and in other nations who carry their faith and must interact with children of darkness. We pray they be steadfast, they be faithful, they be pure, they'll be holy, oh Lord. Uphold them in your strength. And Lord, we pray for our children. We bless them in your name, O Lord, that you will give them a wisdom and a tongue that nobody can gainsay. You fill them with the Holy Spirit. In their time, O God, of despair, you will infuse hope, O God. We bless you, our Father. We thank you for our grandmothers. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you for those among us who have no spouse, who raise their children by themselves. Lord, you will, in your presence, you will fill them with joy. Joy that no one can take from them. We lift up, oh God, all our young people in college. We lift up all of them. We pray that, Father, you will mark them and fill them with special gifting that people will know these belong to the Lord. How we bless you, oh Lord. There are not many things in our hearts that we cannot declare to you, but your word says you are able to do exceedingly above, more than we can ever ask or think. And for that, we give you praise and honor.